only the one who speak and also those who hear. And help us to put what we learn into practice, and help us to hide what we have learned within our hearts so that we won't sin against you. And on top of that, so we will be blameless in your sight and holy in your sight. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 6, the title that I got is from Hebrews chapter 6. The title I got is recorded in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. The author is saying that we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. And that's the title of this sermon. And what does it really mean? That God wants each of you, not only the one who speak, but those who hear, to show this same diligence to the very end. I divide this sermon into two parts. Number one, diligence in feeding yourself with solid food. We all have to study the Word of God. Second, we all have to serve one another. 2S. Number one, study the Word of God. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. What is the teaching about righteousness? Teaching about righteousness is to start serving other people. Anyone who feeds themselves with milk, not solid food, is the one still an infant. Infant will not serve anyone. Infant will not know the teaching about righteousness. Infant doesn't know that we have to serve one another. Verse 14, chapter 5. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. If you don't eat solid food, that means you study the scripture at home. You have to study the scripture at home, because the author in chapter 6 found out that those people who do not study the scripture at home, they cannot distinguish good from evil. When the evil come, and you follow the evil instead of follow the good. But when you study the scripture, you know what is good, you know what is evil. You won't follow the evil one. Okay? Now, chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ and go on to maturity. The word maturity, I would like you to change it. The original language, not maturity. The original language is perfection. Brother and sister, what makes us perfect is these two things. Studying your scripture at home, and then once you know God's will, you start serving Him. That makes you perfect. Right? I want you to change the word maturity. The original language is not maturity. It says go on to perfection. Right beside maturity, you write perfection. And then you write Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Although Jesus Christ was a son, Jesus Christ learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, You write that down, perfect. Chapter 5, verse 9. You write down chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus become perfect, and then he warned his people to be perfect. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. I want to stop here. Right beside perfect, in Hebrew chapter 5, verse 9, once make perfect. I want you to write down Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Jesus Christ said, be perfect, just like your heavenly Father is perfect. God wants us to be perfect. Otherwise, he won't say it. Jesus Christ, he won't say it. Be perfect. Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Not only the heavenly Father is perfect. In Hebrew chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, Jesus Christ learned obedience through suffering. And then he become perfect. Jesus Christ is a perfect Son. Heavenly Father is a perfect God. Do you remember last week? Those he foreknew, God predestined those to follow the very pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember that? So if God is perfect, Jesus is perfect, and that's why he wants each and every one of us to be perfect. And I want to take a look at what Paul is saying in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For God chose us in Christ Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. The word blameless is perfect. God chose us before the creation of the world. He wants us to be blameless. He wants us to be perfect. And how can we be blameless? And how can we be perfect? Take a look at what David is saying. Psalm 119, verse 1. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are they whose way are blameless. Blameless, the Chinese translation is whose ways are perfect. Who walk according to the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? He wants us to study the scripture, and then he wants us to serve God. You don't study, you don't even know what he wants from you. You don't study the scripture, you don't know that God is perfect, the Heavenly Father is perfect. You don't study the scripture, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, you don't know Jesus Christ is perfect. You don't study the scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, you don't know that. You have to follow the very example of Jesus Christ to be perfect. Brother and sister, all these Bible verses, I want you to remember. Then you won't argue. Because the reason why people argue, because they don't remember God's word. They don't study. They don't hide within their heart. That's the first step of being perfection. We study. We study diligently, and then we know exactly what he wants us to do. And then we also know from the writing of Paul, because Paul saying that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, all my writing is God's command. In other words, before God chose us, before the creation of the world, he wants us to be blameless, perfect, and holy in his sight. Not in the sight of man. In the sight of man, you may be perfect, but not in God's sight. You understand? Unless we study his word and start serving God, then we become perfect. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. The Bible says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater than Since there's no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying to Abraham, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Verse 12, we do not want you to become lazy. Lazy means don't study God's word. Lazy means don't serve God. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. If we follow the very footstep of Abraham, we'll be perfect. Now take a look at what God expects Abraham to do. Turn to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Circle the word, be perfection. And circle the word, write Psalm 119, verse 1. God expects Abraham to be perfect. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your number. Brother and sister, in Hebrews chapter 6, there's 2S. Study the scripture. You study the scripture, you know what? If you don't study the scripture, you just listen to the sermon, you just feed on milk, and you will not grow into maturity. You will not grow into perfection. Because when you listen, you don't use your head, you don't use your brain, and you walk away from this classroom, and you forget everything. By the time when you study, and you will remember. I quoted two persons that God want him to be perfect. Genesis 17:1 is Abraham. Psalm 119:1 is David. These are the two people that the Jewish people respect. These are the examples that we have to follow. And then this is the Old Testament teaching. Am I right? And then in the New Testament teaching, Ephesians 1:4, Hebrews 5:9. This is New Testament teaching. That Jesus was made perfect by obedience, by submission to God's will. And he laid down the example for each and every one of us to follow. So, I go back, chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ and go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from acts that leads to death, not laying the foundation of faith in God, foundation of instruction about baptism, foundation of the laying on of hands, and the foundation of the resurrections of the dead, and the foundation of eternal judgment. These are the foundation of the Christian faith. We have to leave this elementary teaching and go into perfection. Not just studying God's word, knowing God's will, but we have to start serving God. Because some people, they don't grow into perfection, and they stumble on the way. Verse 3. And God permitting, we will do so. Verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who has once been enlightened because they were fed by spiritual milk, who have tasted the heavenly gift because they were fed with heavenly milk, not solid food. and who have share in the Holy Spirit. When they hear God's word in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14, by believing in Jesus Christ and you will receive the Holy Spirit, they just hear about that and they have share in the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God by being fed on spiritual milk and the power of the coming age. Verse 4 to verse 5, these are the people, they are infant. They live on milk, not on solid food. They are infant. So that's why they are very easy to be led astray. In verse 6, if these people, the infant people, not a spiritual being, like a natural being, I want to using what the Paul word to describe them. I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Brother, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it, not yet ready for solid food. Indeed, you are still not ready. Verse 3. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one say, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? They are infants. They don't distinguish good from evil. Some people like the preaching of Paul, they say, oh, I follow Paul. Some people like the preaching of Apollo, I follow Apollo. Not knowing that, these two pastors are supposed to preach the same thing. Because they are infants, they don't know that. Go back. I want you to circle the word, chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. These Bible verses is very important. I read that again to you. If these people just merely a worldly Christian, don't study the scripture, just feed themselves with spiritual meal, just come on Sunday and listen to the sermon, and at home don't even study, don't even memorize God's word, what happened to them? The Bible says in verse 4, it is impossible for them, if they fall away, in verse 6, if they fall away, they're very easy to fall away because they're infant. It's very easy for them to be led astray because they're infant. They cannot, in chapter 5, verse 14, they cannot train themselves to distinguish good from evil. If they fall away, it is impossible for them to be brought back to repentance because to their laws, they are crucifying the Son of God, Jesus Christ, all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. I want you to write that down in verse 6. What does it really mean? At first, you hear from the preacher saying that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is Lord. So what does it really mean? It means you hear only part of the gospel. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. God's command is for you to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And you know that. You believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Those who believe in the name of the Son Jesus Christ will never crucify Jesus Christ. The one who crucified Jesus Christ is rejecting Jesus the Messiah, rejecting Jesus the Son of God, rejecting Jesus the Lord. But do you know what? The Hebrew author saying to us, the infant, they used to believe Jesus. They used to claim Jesus the Christ, and later on they say, no, I don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. That means they will crucify Jesus Christ one more time. I want you to know the consequences of crucifying Jesus Christ one more time. Do you remember Moses in the Old Testament? He struck the rock twice. He's supposed to command the rock for the water to come off the rock. He struck it. And he not only struck it second time, he struck it twice. And God is angry with Moses, saying to him, you cannot enter in the promised land. Don't crucify Jesus Christ second time. If you come to the church as a baby, and you say, oh, I just listen to the sermon, and I have good memory, don't deceive yourself. You study the scripture yourself. You grow into maturity, so that you can distinguish good from evil. You don't follow the wicked people who claim that Jesus is not the Messiah, who claim Jesus is not the Son of God. Those people in those days who crucified Jesus is because they don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. And you follow them, you ran astray, it is impossible for you to repent. Do we need to study the scripture? Do we? I think so. Second thing. How can I be perfect? First step, study the scripture diligently. I give you one example. Take a look at 2 Timothy. When Paul, God's servant, faithful servant, is locked up in prison, what did he say to Timothy? Make sure you bring me the scroll. Bring me the Bible. I want to read the Bible. He himself had written 13 books. He wanted to read the Bible. He wanted to study it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. Then he described this infant baby is like the lamb. Lamb that drink in the rain, often falling on it, and that produce a crop useful to those for whom it is found, receive the blessing of God. If a lamb produce a crop, if a lamb is useful to the master, because master gonna hire a servant, hire a farmer to sow the seed, and if the lamb produce crop, the lamb will receive blessing of God. Verse 8. But lamb that produce thorns and thistle, not crops, that land is worthless, as it is in the danger of being cursed. In the end, this land that produced thorn and thistle will be burned. But the land that produced crop will receive blessing from God. Verse 9. The author say, even though we speak like this, dear friend, we are confident of better things in your case. Things that accompany salvation. Those who understand Chinese, I found out this Chinese translation is no good because he doesn't understand the scripture. I think the English one is a lot better. I read that one more time to you. Even though we speak like that, using the example of a land that produced crop, the example of the land that produced thorn and thistle, even though I speak like this, dear friend, we are confident of better things in your case. In other words, the pastor saying, I know, man, you guys, you get better things than that. Not only salvation, but things that accompany salvation. Can anyone tell me what did I say last Sunday? Did I just talk about salvation? What's the perfect salvation? What's the full salvation? When people sin against God, he lost the eternal life. That's salvation number one. When people sin against God, he lost the eternal inheritance. When people sin against God, he lost the eternal kingship. That is the full salvation. Eternal inheritance
eternal kingship accompany salvation, accompany eternal life. I didn't say you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. I didn't say that, right? I say that you believe in Jesus Christ, you study God's word, you start serving Him, you get three things. You understand? You get eternal inheritance accompany salvation. Eternal kingship accompany salvation. Does that make sense? Let's go. Verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have. Circle the word love. Circle the word work. If you love God, prove your love by your work. You have to serve God, man. Serve. I read that one more time in verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people. You help His people, that means you serve God's people. I want you to write that down. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. The King Jesus Christ will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brother of mine, you did it for me. You serve the little brother of Jesus Christ, you serve Jesus. Right beside verse 40, you write down 34. Then the King will say to those who serve Him, that is on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. Circle the word inheritance. Eternal inheritance that come with salvation. Take your eternal inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Go back to chapter 6, Hebrew verse 10. God is not unjust. God will not forget your work and your love and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. I want you to write that down. You served God in the past. That means you have helped His people. And then you serve God now. Continue to help. And then verse 11. The pastor said, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, in order to make your hope sure. Verse 11, verse 10 and verse 11, what it really means is, you serve God in the past, you serve God now in the present, you serve God in the future, until you see Jesus Christ. Don't tell me you love God 10 years ago and then you don't love God now. You love God then, you love God now, and you love God to the very end. By doing so, you prove yourself perfect, blameless in God's sight. I want you to give one illustration to the very end, right beside to the very end. You write that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. I fought the good fight, I run the race, and I kept the faith. He don't just serve God then, now, he also served God until the very end. He didn't throw the towel, okay? And then let's take a look again. Chapter 6, verse 10. We want each of you to show this same diligence. You serve God in the past. You still continue to serve God now. We expect each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. You do that in the future too. in order to make your hope sure. Your hope sure. Circle the word hope sure. The one who has the hope is deal with the problem in chapter 6, verse 4 to verse 6. You have no hope. You face difficulty. You face temptation. You're going to throw the towel and say, I give up. You have a sure hope. You won't give up. You keep on fighting the good fight. Because you know, if you lost the salvation, you lost the eternal inheritance, you lost the eternal kingship, I lost too much. I won't throw the towel. And I will keep on doing it. Who has the sure hope? Abraham has the sure hope. David had the sure hope. So that's why in verse 12, we do not want you to become lazy, not studying God's word, not serving one another, but to imitate Abraham, imitate David, imitate Paul, imitate those, imitate. I want you to write down 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul saying that, follow my example, for I follow the example of Jesus Christ. Imitate them. We have to follow them. Who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Circle the word inherit what has been promised. Abraham don't just have eternal life, man. Abraham has eternal inheritance. To inherit what has been promised, I want you to write down Romans chapter 4, verse 13. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. When you believe in God, and God credited you with righteousness, take away all your sin, and then you have eternal life, on top of that, you have eternal inheritance. You not only inherit the world for 1,000 years, you also inherit the new heaven and new earth. These are the sure hope. You study the scripture, you will know that. These are the sure hope that God gave it to Abraham and his offspring. Not just give it to him. And how can Abraham inherit the world? Abraham died already. He will be resurrected, man. Keep going. Verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, not only eternal life, eternal inheritance, and also eternal kingship. Since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you. In other words, brother and sister, you study the scripture and you serve God, you will know that God will surely bless you. And that's the sure hope. He not only blessed Abraham, God said, I will give you many descendants. I will surely multiply you. Verse 15. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. And I know that in the future, I will see Jesus going to put a crown on his head. Just like Galatians saying, God going to garland you, granted you a garland of grace in your head. On your head. Put a crown of pure gold upon your head, saying to you, my son, you're going to reign with me. Verse 16, Man swore by someone greater than himself, and the oath confirmed what is said and put an end to all argument. Because in this world, in our conversation, when we talk, a lot of people make false testimony. Oh, I promise you I give you this, but in reality, he has no intention to give you this. He just deceived you. Because so many people try to deceive one another on earth, and God knows that they want to put an end to all argument. Will Abraham truly receive blessing? If I study God's word, know his will, and I can distinguish good from evil, I won't run astray and follow the evil one and to deny Jesus as the Messiah. And then I start serving God and love one another, not only in the past, but now and also in the future. Will I surely bless just like you bless Abraham? You can count on the fact. He said, he swore. When he swore, that is a set of all argument. You understand? Because God cannot lie to himself, nor can he lie to you. When he make an oath, he will surely do it. He will surely bless you. In those days, he swore to Abraham. That means he swore to his offspring also. Verse 19. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heir, heir of the world, heir of the eternal inheritance of what was promised. Right beside here, you write down Romans 4:13. We could inherit that. He confirmed it with an oath. Verse 19, God did this so that by two unchanging things, the first thing he won't change is God's purpose. Second thing he won't change, because of his oath, his sworn. And what's the two unchanging thing? I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply you. In verse 14. These two unchanging things. Because he made this promise by oath, and that is his will. That is his purpose. God did this so that by two unchanging things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. The reason why people went astray, the people why the Christian being led astray, because they don't study the scripture and they don't serve God. They have no sure hope when someone tempted him and he walked away. Do you remember there's a senior lady, Friday night, I take her to the Bible study, and she told me, she talked to her sister, she bring her sister, sit by there, and we led her to Christ, and she was baptized before she went back to Ottawa. And lady, someone visit her house, and saying to her, God has two sons. The first son is Jesus, and second son is Satan. Satan is not God's son. Satan is the fallen angel. It's an evil spirit. According to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, all angels are ministering spirit. It's not God's son. It's servant. Can you imagine? You hear the sermon, you baptize, and still do, and Satan still wants you to lead you astray. Does it make sense? She said to her elder sister, "Wow, you are blessed. You can come to this church." And then her sister said, "I will call you and lead you by the study." Brother and sister, you better study the scripture yourself. Okay? And start serving God so that you make your hope sure. And take a look at the author, what the author says. Verse 18,
God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. When we know that our study is not in vain, when we know that our ministry, our serving is not in vain, because we will surely be blessed by God, and we will reign with Jesus, and we will take hold of the inheritance, inherit the kingdom of God, we won't fall, because too much to lose. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. When you know that the Lord will surely bless you, the Lord will surely multiply you, you have this hope as an anchor for your soul, for your salvation. You know that you are in good hands. It's firm and secure. That anchor is firm and secure. I want you to circle the word firm and secure. You write Hebrew chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. You just hear, you will drift away. The reason why you drift away, because you don't have the anchor. You know what? If the ship is not moving, it's still drifting because the current is moving. You have, when your ship stays still, you have to put an anchor. And the author say that anchor is in the Holy of Holies. Not just in the holy place, in the Holy of Holy Place. Anchor there. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We won't drift away. We won't be deceived by all other people. It enter the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf, and he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Brother and sister, I want you to write down two S. Study the scripture. Serve God according to the scripture. Two S. Study the scripture and serve God according to the scripture. You'll be blameless in God's sight. You'll be holy. You not only have eternal life, you have eternal inheritance, and you're going to reign with Jesus Christ not only for 1,000 years, you're going to reign with Jesus forever and ever. Reign with Jesus for 1,000 years is recorded in Revelation chapter 26 in the millennium kingdom. You reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever is Revelation 22, verse 5. One is in the millennium kingdom. One is in the new heaven and new earth. You don't study the scripture, how would you know? You know what? You get it so easily, you're going to forget it so easily too. You study so hard to find that out, you're going to circle that. You're going to remember. You're going to hide within your heart. That become a secure anchor, firm and secure. You won't drift away. It is not good enough for Abraham to leave his father's place in earth and then go to the promised land. It's not good enough. In chapter 12, God called Abraham, leave your father's place and go to the promised land. He did that. In chapter 12. In chapter 17, I want you to be blameless and walk before me and follow me. After 17, in 22, and God swear to Abraham, As far as blessing is concerned, I will surely bless you. As far as your descendants is concerned, I will surely multiply. He put an end to an argument. He swore to him by his name. And then that has happened. He waited patiently and he received it. So we wait patiently, we receive it. Do we need to study the scripture? Is this good enough just to hear to be infant? It's not good enough. Because a lot of people are drifted away. Satan will drift you away. When you're drifted away, you don't even know. By the time you realize, you're so far away already. Because you don't have a sure hope anchored into the inner sanctuary. You know that blessing is from God. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for such a precious scripture, not only written by the book of Hebrew, also written by Moses in Genesis chapter 17. It is God's desire for Moses to be perfect, to be blameless. And it is Jesus' desire in Matthew chapter 5, the first book of the New Testament, verse 48, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Lord, how can we be perfect? If we don't know your word, how can we be perfect? We can't even distinguish good from evil. That's why you want us to study diligently the word of God and hide that within our heart. Apply what we learn into our heart and so that we put it into practice. And after that, we find out that each and every one of us has to serve God. Because he didn't want us to be lazy. He wants us to serve God in the past, serve God now, and serve God in the future. To the very end, until we see Jesus. And by that time, we will truly be blessed. You know, this teaching is not only from the book of Hebrew. This teaching is from the 12 parables. It's recorded in Matthew chapter starting in chapter 13 all the way to chapter 25. The 12 parable of the kingdom of God. And within that parable, we know that we all have to serve God. Go to the vineyard to serve. If we do it to anyone of the little brother of Jesus Christ, we serve Jesus. When we serve Jesus, we will for sure inherit the world as king. Lord, I pray that you help us to remember what we hear, and go home and study all these scriptures that they heard. And so that they have a sure hope that we'll get this kind of blessing. And when we know that we will have that hope, we learn from Abraham. Waiting patiently. Eventually, Abraham received what was promised. For sure we know that a lot of good things accompany salvation. We know that we don't just receive eternal life. We receive eternal inheritance that no one can take it away. Just like Mary. Sit by your feet and listen to your word and know exactly who you are and serve you and anoint you with the perfume, expensive oil. And Lord, I pray that you help us to serve you. And so that when we see you face to face, you're going to say to us, we are good, faithful, and useful servant of you. Help us like the land that produced crop, useful to the master, so that for sure we will receive blessings of God. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every people say, Amen.
Holy Communion.